looking for some clarity on rare earths.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects the United States. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has urged China to clarify its policy on rare earth metals. Those are the resources needed to make a lot of high-tech gadgets. China produces the vast majority of the world's rare earths, and Clinton's remarks come after reports China has curbed exports to the United States, to Europe, and to Japan. The BBC's Michael Bristow is with us this morning from Beijing. Hi, Michael.
Hi, good morning.
What is China's reaction to this?
Well, China's come out and basically denied that it's going to use rare earth metals as a bargaining tool. A spokesman for the Ministry of Industry said a few hours ago that basically they want to cooperate with other countries and export these rare earth metals so everybody can benefit from them. And it must be said, though, this is a little bit of a mixed message, because yesterday a foreign ministry spokesman said it was well within China's sovereign rights to control the flow of these rare earth metals outside the country.
And Michael, why are these metals so important? Why are we talking about this?
Well, they're used in a range of industries, both civilian industries and for military uses as well. And that's why people like the US Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is concerned, because without these metals, many industries won't be able to function, won't be able to produce things. But it must be said that America and many other countries do produce or have these rare earths themselves. They just stopped producing them some time ago. So perhaps if China continues to put a block on exports, or there's question marks over it, they ought to go back to mining them themselves or look for alternative ways to make these products.
The BBC's Michael Bristow in Beijing. Michael, thanks.
Thank you very much.
European leaders meet at a special summit today on the future of Europe's finances. They're hoping to draw up plans to avoid a repeat of the Greek debt crisis. Those leaders are trying to learn some lessons, too, from the United States. From London, here's Marketplace's Europe correspondent, Stephen Beard.
Among the ideas under discussion today, what about a heavy fine on any of the 16 Eurozone member states that borrow too much? Or how about punishing reckless Eurozone countries by depriving them of a vote at summit meetings? Skeptics say even these radical solutions won't work. Just look at the US, 50 states operating as the world's biggest currency union. Unlike the US, though, Europe is not one country, and therefore it doesn't have a free flow of cash or labour between its richer and its poorer regions. Andrew Hilton of the CSFI think tank.
Different educational systems, different cultures, everything from different menus in the restaurants stop people moving from one country to another, and really mean that there are 16 different countries within the Eurozone.
And he says while Californians may be prepared to bail out Nevada, the Germans will always be rather loath to help the Greeks, the Portuguese, or other countries in the Eurozone. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Global stocks are higher at the moment. Markets are up in Europe about 1%. Investors boosted by earnings reports out today. Car makers Daimler and Hyundai reported their profits surged, as did Shell Oil in its last quarter. Sharp Electronics profits fell, and video game maker Nintendo swung to a loss, however. Wall Street yesterday, markets were all over the place. Small gains for the NASDAQ, but the Dow lost 43 points to close at 11,126.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. By the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information available at newsstands every Saturday. And by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
In the midterm elections coming up next week, politicians are talking a lot about the high unemployment, touting their plans to create jobs. From the Sustainability Desk, Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports, employment these days is part function of policy, but also viability.
Brandon Clark's a vice president of an insurance agency. On the side, he helps run the website Knoxify, a hyperlocal website focused on Knoxville, Tennessee.
It's actually just a labor of love.
It's the sort of site where people post pictures of the city, reviews of the newest coffee shop, and the sort of hyperlocal site growing in popularity where everyone works for free. But could this be a workable model for journalism? Jan Schaefer from American University's JLab says it's early yet.
I think that one model of sustainability might well be a community site as an act of civic volunteerism.
It's that energy that has grown Knoxify over the last 3 years. Casey Peters works with Clark.
We wanted to leave the politics and crime to the general news outlets, and we just wanted to focus on kind of the hidden gems of Knoxville.
And Clark says when they need content, there's always someone who steps up.
You know what? I'd be happy to write for you. I don't have a journalism or J-school background, but I'd be happy to try and toss something together just to keep it going.
At the same time these self-described reporters have stepped up for free, paid reporters lost jobs during this recession on shrinking advertising. According to the American Society of News Editors, in the last decade, newsrooms have cut more than a quarter of their reporters. The number of paid journalists is expected to continue to fall. Jan Schaefer from JLab thinks major papers covering national and international news will continue to exist as they search for new revenue models online. But
I think we'll wind up with a variegated media ecosystem.
Some successful online groups exist, from investigative journalism to fact entrepreneurs who run their own sites. But right now, few web-based media projects make lots of money. In order for these sites to offer real jobs, they have to start making money to pay money, which is what Knoxify is trying to do. They're looking for sponsors. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
Check out marketplace.org for our handy tool. We call it the Future Jobs-O-Matic. Really cool. And finally, early 20th century baseball player Honus Wagner is helping some Baltimore nuns. The School Sisters of Notre Dame are auctioning off a rare Wagner baseball card that was left to them in a will. The card's not in very good shape. It's only about one of 60 known to exist. Could fetch as much as $200,000. Sister Virginia Muller says she's never heard of Wagner, but she's a big fan of his baseball playing abilities now. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
For most of us, it's like a bad dream from 1994, but slow internet is still reality in some parts.
It's chugging along.
I wouldn't call that chugging, Kathy. It's kind of creeping.
I'm Kai Ruzdahl. As banks drive accounts online, what does that mean for the internet have-nots? The story and the day's business news next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.